Hey, hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 705. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamito. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
You know, another week in paradise. Oh, man. Hey, well, it was really nice not having to pick up gas twice last week. It just dawned on me today that I did not have to stop for gas last week. And, whew, that is a big upside to not driving an hour and 15 minutes one way.
Oh, yeah, I bet that is.
There is that. In the world of wrestling, It was nothing too crazy, but I will admit, I did feel like this week, AEW Rampage, this one was a little more committed than some of their recent offerings. Was really anchored by two big matches with just some fluff in between, but you know, this felt a little more consistent. I'd still argue that they probably started with the biggest match and worked their way down to the kind of the sub-main event. But still, that's Britt Baker versus Abaddon being the main event of the show. Should keep some eyeballs around.
Yeah, no, it was fine. It's just the whole thing with Abaddon has just been weird. If you've only started watching AEW Dynamite and this Rampage in the last 6 months, you would have never seen this freaky looking woman before in your life.
Well, she was on what, a couple of episodes? Did she challenge Britt Baker for the championship at some point?
I think she challenged Sheeta.
Oh, Sheeta. That's what it was. Yeah, so she challenged Sheeta, and I think she was pretty much out of sight, out of mind from that point forward.
That's been a long time. That's really inexcusable to just out of nowhere mention this person's existence, say that something happened on the Jericho cruise, but not have any footage of that either.
Yeah,
to justify this match,
you know, that was one of the weirder things. Is there some type of because they mentioned it on air, but haven't they previously shown footage from the Jericho cruise?
Yeah, they did an entire episode of it the first time they did it.
Yeah.
But now this time doesn't feel like they professionally shot anything from there. It's just whatever footage was from essentially from people's cameras. But they shot an angle for that would lead to Abaddon getting a match with Britt Baker. I enjoyed the match once again. Britt Baker getting to get hardcore and lead. That wasn't entertaining. So, I mean, I never a huge fan of having these big anything goes matches with all these crazy spots and on a roll up. That was stupid.
I forgot that the finish was a roll up, but was it at least into the tacks?
I think they tried to sell it like that, but I'm not sure. I really buy that it was into the tax.
I think they might have missed the tax. Or those tax were already picked up by someone's back at that juncture. Because both of them did pick up some tax.
Yeah.
Britt Baker does not seem shy of the hardcore match. And it also did seem like they were maybe setting her up. Hold on. Yeah, nothing happened after that match. But I do feel like they mentioned, and why is her name escaping me, beating Britt Baker in the Lights Out match.
Rosa. Yeah,
Thunder Rosa.
They meant that. Does not appear to be in any time imminent. Tay Conti has the title match at Full Gear, and Thunder Rosa's in the TNT Championship Tournament. TBS Championship Tournament. So
yeah.
And she's been feuding with Jade Cargill as well. So, but no, it's good to bring it up. Good to keep that out there. They're showing some discipline by not just rushing to a rematch between those two. Not sure exactly when that match is going to happen, but that's good.
I guess at this point, because how many pay-per-views are they running? Is it 8?
4.
I should be able to remember this at this juncture, right?
yeah, I think you should. That's okay.
What's after Full Gear then? Because it wouldn't be until the new year then.
It wouldn't be until February or March. I think it's Revolution's their pay-per-view.
Oh, okay. That'd be a long time to tease out that feud.
it would be. But they're also going to start doing their, once they move to TBS, their quarterly TNT specials that will be promoted as their Clash of the Champions like specials.
Oh.
On TNT exclusively.
I mean, I did enjoy those back in the day, so I am. Yeah. I guess I'm here for it. So that's going on. Bryan Danielson continues to have good matches. This time with Eddie Kingston. That was not much of a surprise that Danielson was the one going over in that situation.
No, it was not.
So, still weird that they're doing a tournament for when they already have a ranked system. But, you know,
yeah,
that's where we are.
yeah.
And then Dante Martin, Matt Sydal was the only one.
Wait. You're skipping over something important. The CM Punk promo that was not meant to be.
Oh, when did that happen?
That happened right after Danielson versus Kingston. When Kingston confronted Punk, because he thought Punk was laughing at him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I completely forgot that happened.
It's all right. I shouldn't have left you hanging like that. That was unprofessional of me.
But anyway, yeah. Well, A, should remember, but B... Yeah, life happens. Eddie Kingston has really had a string of great opponents and has really delivered. Like, he's a guy that I was still a little skeptical of, but, kind of like Darby Allin, they always sell his toughness and his street mentality. And he really gets that over in the ring. Like, they've done a great job. I mean, he ends up losing a lot of his matches, but they always let him have a war with whomever, whether it's Bryan Danielson or, well, it looks like CM Punk is going to be on his list here soon. You know?
Yeah, CM Punk, that's a hell of an opponent for him. It's a hell of an opponent for Punk. Looks like we're getting back towards Eddie as a heel. We'll also having his good buddy Mox also show the signs of going heel as well. So that could be very interesting. You know, you got Kingston. Because remember, they were doing the promo with Danielson the week before, where Danielson was talking to him while patronizing, and now he thinks Punk's making fun of him. It's like, Kingston really has a promo to sink his teeth into. These guys, they come into this company, they act like they're doing all the rest of us a favor. Like, while they've got millions of dollars in the bank. Meanwhile, you know, think of a guy like Kingston. You know, he was ready to quit the business. He'd spent, you know, you remember the story about what Kingston's day job was, right?
Was on the Indies. Oh no. No, I am not terribly familiar with his story.
He moved to Orlando and became Goofy at Disney World.
So he
was doing that to make ends meet while Danielson Funk, you know, they're making millions of dollars, but acting like, oh, we're just here for the art, man. You see how a guy like Kingston would get really pissed about that. So, you know, so some really good stuff. I hope this leads to something more for Punk than just a one-off match. I really think they could get a lot out of this, and you could certainly get do tag matches with Brian and Punk against Kingston and Moxley as well down the road. Yeah,
no.
I like a lot of this.
Yeah. There's they have a lot to work with now.
Yeah.
You we were talking about how their main event didn't have enough players in it. Now with CM Punk in there, and, you know, obviously Kingston isn't going to be one of those top choices, but when you can throw him into a match and know that he's going to be reliable, like, that's a good person to have around.
Yeah. Plus, at this point, with the whole way this is all, you know, moving towards, it's pretty obvious Danielson versus Moxley is going to be the Eliminator Tournament final. I don't think Orange Cassidy is getting that spot.
Oh, I would be pretty surprised if it was Cassidy. You know, like, they push Cassidy a lot, but he's kind of plateaued where he's at currently.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make sense to give him, you know, put him in the finals. So yeah, I would think it's Moxley and Danielson. Especially since Moxley is really wrecking people.
Oh yeah, he definitely is. That's what I said. He looks like he's headed towards a heel turn.
Yeah.
Now Kingston's heading towards a heel turn, so yeah, no, that provides some really good stuff going forward. AEW has struggled on that side, but they've also looks like they're also making some moves to rectify that as well.
Yeah, so I definitely I know how much we've Rampage has been easy to blow off with the glut of weekend wrestling the last couple of weeks, but now that we got relieved of a few hours, it you know, and maybe that helped AEW too, because it was kind of awkward if you kind of set the system up for Dynamite to play into Rampage. It's hard to change gears for 2 weeks and try to make the stories make sense. You know, especially when you're trying to tell, yeah, it's easier to have that leeway in a 2-hour show than a 1-hour show. So yeah, it's, that's been kind of the orphaned show here, as of late. SmackDown, never an orphaned show because, we got the one, the only Roman Reigns there. So there's always
this week.
Something to talk about.
This week.
No, there is not. But I'll tell you what, there was one thing that really stood out to me this week, and I'm not sure how much we've talked about it. The Caleb Braxton, Paul Heyman stuff just continues to be top-notch stuff.
Yeah, it really is. They have a really good chemistry. I enjoy them immensely. Paul's exasperation with Kayla, even though she's really not even doing anything except your job, it's pretty funny.
Yeah, and she's not like she's not overstating her points or being like I like that she's not being. I think sometimes the backstage announcers are too confrontational with their tone, and she's just doing a good job of just, well, that, and she's not having to ask nonsense questions most of the time.
Yeah.
You know, so it really helps the gimmick when the delivery is probably better than most people normally do it, and the material is there instead of being goofy. You know, just, yeah, it's wrestling. There are too many softball questions or ones that are deliberately ambiguous so that the person being interviewed can take offense to it. But they don't, their relationship is not like that. So it's, it really stands out. And I guess I definitely wanted to say something about that on this show, because that was, I didn't even need to look at the review to mention that. Hey, I guess it's kind of fun. Shotzi Blackheart is, well, Shotzi. I keep on forgetting that they took her last name away. Back on TV here and getting what would seem to be a very prominent spot on SmackDown here in the very near future.
I have my misgivings about her being a heel. I have a lot of them, but you don't get to beat up Sasha Banks like that and to seemingly start a feud without it leading to quite a bit of TV time. So that is very good when others are scrapping for that TV time. So I'll let it play out. I will say that I think that Shotzi is a natural babyface and incredibly marketable, so I don't... And in principle, I don't necessarily agree with the decision to make her a heel. But this is... But as I said, it looks like she's being set up for a prime role moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, it is just kind of interesting. Like, if she takes out Banks, I think it's one thing. The extent of the beating took on Banks is what is the interesting part in that beatdown. You know, you can understand being upset that she probably cost you the match because she was up on the ring apron. Or at least altered the outcome. But yeah, that beatdown was pretty serious. So yeah, you've got to think heel. And I don't... It's kind of weird if you're going to have a heel coming out in a miniature tank.
Yeah. Oh, are they going to lose the tank? Oh, it's again... The greater good.
Yeah, I guess I'm with you. We'll see how it plays out. But I mean, Banks has worked better as, you know, more of the heel within her feuds recently. So that's another reason why it's kind of an interesting choice to go with as far as the story formatting. But I am looking forward to it. Obviously they they need some new blood to literally to wrestle Charlotte and Sasha. It doesn't seem like anyone that has previously come up in the women's division has really clicked. So let's hope that Shotzi doesn't kill herself.
And I guess they also, and they also need Sasha to be a baby face to face Charlotte too.
Oh, yeah, maybe this is.
Even though it's a very quick turnaround on that one.
Uh, Yeah, that could be a very good reason. Give Sasha a little bit of practice before taking on Charlotte. Give her a little bit of a buffer time to rework the character. Yeah, I guess that'll be interesting to see, I suppose. But that, yeah, that was one of the big happenings, I feel like, on SmackDown. I'm trying to roll through here. Oh my gosh. I thought it was a little groan worthy that Mustafa Ali is going along with the that's his name is why he's being booed. He's one of those guys where I really like him. I think he has a lot of promo ability, but I don't understand why the WWE trots him out there all the time. Like, do you?
Yes, especially like what? Go ahead.
Yeah, I was gonna say, do you have any like any insight into this logic?
Not really. I mean, I like Ali. I think that they may missed a couple of boats with him, where maybe they could have done more with him. But yeah, but doing this when he has said over and over again he never wanted to do this, I don't like it.
Yeah, like I'm almost a little bit surprised he's rolling with it in some way.
You see, you know, he doesn't really have much of a choice, I guess.
Yeah, so here we are. Yeah, that was another thing, I guess, about SmackDown that I was not a terribly big fan of. The King Wood stuff, have we ever had a king that has hammed it up this much?
As a babyface, no. I guess you could count. I guess you would say King Booker.
Oh.
Really got into it.
Yes. King Booker has to, like, that's quote unquote the most recent one, and I realize that is probably all not quite all that recent. Just because they've had a heel with it so frequently, because it works to, you know, be a dickhead and claim that you're the king and have all kinds of shenanigans go on during your matches. Excuse me. Yeah. The whole naming of the hand just pulled from Game of Thrones was killing me. And if we get another Usos versus New Day feud, this time involve, I don't know how frequently Kofi and Xavier have been the opponents, but I'm here for that feud being rekindled again, New Day and Usos. Like I'm probably not going to get tired of a feud.
No. Always good with them. Good to see them back together again. I'm sure we will get more.
Yeah. So King Woods, I think, is capable of keeping up the shenanigans here. So that's definitely something I'm looking forward to. It would not be a WWE Halloween show without some type of shenanigans as far as a street fight goes that involves candy. I'm not sure if it's always called a trick or street fight, But Shinsuke Nakamura and Rick Boogs took on Happy Corbin and Madcap Moss. Yep. Can't get through a WWE show without one of these, correct?
No, of course not. It's a holiday tradition.
So yeah, gotta have some type of food match. Oh yeah, and I guess the match with the Usos and New Day was the end of it.
What even was the finish of that match? Because it feels like it ended really abruptly, in my, from what I remember. And look at the fact
that They just super kicked the daylights out of Xavier Woods. But Kofi Kingston had tagged in and caught whichever Uso was legal, unawares, and rolled him up for the win.
Oh, okay.
So,
yeah. I didn't remember if New Day won. I didn't remember if it was disqualification or New Day actually won. Okay.
Yep, New Day actually won.
So, no. Okay.
So yeah, again, feud extended. I'm for it. I wouldn't. I guess it'd be kind of interesting to have Xavier Woods both be the king and be a champion, but I'm still for keeping the Bloodline as champions for at least the relatively near future.
Yeah, no, I don't foresee them losing anytime soon, so we shall see.
And I guess that moves us on to Raw. I did not see maybe the first quarter of this match or so. Becky Lynch versus Bianca Belair leads off what I'm gonna, at least I felt like watching, it was a very wrestling heavy Raw this week.
It was a very wrestling-heavy Raw. Number of really good matches, capped off by this one that was a hell of a match. Yeah, some really 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 excellent women's action in the last month or so on WWE TV. So yeah, I like this match a lot. They went all out for this one. In the end, the nefarious Becky Lynch cheats to win. And moves on. It's a little surprising. I thought there was a very good chance that Bianca was walking out of Raw with the Women's Championship, but not to be. They can send Bianca, you know, as Becky said, back to the end of the line and earn herself back into contention later. They could make it the WrestleMania match if they wanted to. They don't really have a lot else. just keeping it to Raw.
Yeah, I mean, it is a good way to keep those two apart for at least some time period. Yeah, because you do get some title changes this time of the year, not too many. The deck seems to get a little bit shuffled usually in December, before the Royal Rumble there occasionally. But yeah, I guess I wasn't too surprised by the outcome. I think I think Bianca Belair can bounce back from this. They obviously put the shenanigans in there to give her a little bit of wiggle room about the loss. And Becky Lynch gets to continue to brag, and people will now boo her. That whole thing started off is a train wreck and has really turned into something that's, I think, should be mutually beneficial. Like, I don't see Bianca Belair getting bounced out of the main event scene. You know, you're just not always going to have the championship when you have at least four people that can contend for it now. We'll see if Shotzi sticks, but you know, without Bayley there, you know, it's been a little bit tough to find a fourth dancing partner for Sasha, Charlotte, and who am I thinking of as the and Becky. So, yeah, it's, yeah, Bianca should, I would hope, have some feature matchups here, although I'm, well, yeah, I guess she could still do, I don't know if she, who else is on that brand, I guess Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax popped into my brain as far as feuds go that could keep her on TV and relevant and climbing back towards a championship spot, but I'm not sure who's on what brand really. I know that she's obviously on Raw, but
yeah, she's on Raw. Yeah, but I'm not sure exactly what's going on with her. She's been missing for a little while now.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there, but I do think that they have some room to work with there. Austin Theory, seemingly maybe true to life character, he has really gotten over his dickhead character here in a very short time period.
Well, let's not go wild with the whole gotten over stuff. It's not over with me.
Oh man. Starting thing. That's one of those things that I think it has a pretty short shelf life. Because I think it just. I just think it gets old. You know, it's a good way to introduce someone maybe for the first feud or two, but if they don't move on from it, it might get a little long in the tooth. But hey, if they're having to work with the Mysterios, I guess that's another one of those they're at least putting some faith in him. Seth Rollins, Big E, what are you thinking about this feud?
I think it's an interesting feud. I think they're both doing well in it. So not sure exactly when this match is going to happen at this point. I'll give you a little more later. Well, anyway, let's just get it right now. I don't know what they're doing with Survivor Series at this point.
Yeah,
they're not talking about it. They're not mentioning it. I think they may have just done the throw to the graphic. Survivor Series is coming, but that's it. No one's talking about it. Becky did a promo later in the show. Great time to start talking about Charlotte, but no. Instead, she's confronted by Liv Morgan. So another. You know, Raw Center Challenger.
Oh, yeah.
I'm at a loss here. I really have no idea what they're doing with Survivor Series right now.
Especially if memory serves. Didn't you say that there's no December pay-per-view this year?
There's no December pay-per-view. They're not doing anything in December at all. I have no idea what's going on. Are they tinkering with the theme? Are they gonna do away with the theme? Are we gonna start getting matches on SmackDown finally on this Friday? I have no idea what they're doing about this.
And it can't be.
The number four pay per view of the year.
Yeah, I'm trying. I'm actually interested enough to look this one up of what the date for that is. Because, I mean, they've got 4 weeks max at this point.
It's supposed to be November 21st. That's three. That's under three now.
Oh, my gosh.
and they've already wasted two episodes of Raw, two episodes of SmackDown and two episodes of Raw.
Wow.
I have no idea. So, like, once again, when is the Seth Biggie match going to happen? I have no idea.
Yeah, you would think that that would be a Survivor Series match. I mean, they've usually had a couple of singles matches recently, and not just the tag variety. So it wouldn't be.
The whole thing's supposed to be the Raw versus SmackDown, but
nobody's
talking about Raw versus SmackDown. They're not putting together the elimination teams for the men and the women. You know, Big E's not talking about Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns isn't talking about Big E. Roman Reigns wasn't even on SmackDown Friday. Roman Reigns has nothing going on, essentially, right now.
Yeah, and it didn't even seem like he had, other than the Kayla and Paul Brock Lesnar teasing stuff, no real mention of a possible opponent for Reigns either.
No. It's all very weird. It's like Survivor Series, which is supposed to be one of the big ones, is like a secret pay-per-view.
Wow, man. I didn't realize that it was they have a really short ramp for that, and they are running out of time quickly. They've got to come up with some type of gimmick.
Yeah, it's a weird, yeah, very weird situation going on right now. Yeah, I'm quite confused by all of it.
Yeah, I don't know if they finally realize that it's silly to have everyone change brands and then try to fight each other for brand supremacy. I don't think that drafts, exchanges, whatever they've called them, have ever been quite this close to Survivor Series. But man, I feel like this is the most recent. Huh?
Yeah, no. They've done it in October the last few years, but then they throw in the caveat this year that the rosters didn't get put in place until after Crown Jewel.
Yeah, and I forgot about that too, where they extended the time frame. Yeah, if they do away with the Raw versus SmackDown format, I guess I'm okay. And if they just kind of develop some individual stuff to have those types of matches, I'd be okay with it. But I'm with you. Like, it's really strange to not even mention an event that's in 3 weeks.
Yeah, no, it's very, very weird. Yeah.
So. Yeah, I guess, did it, pique your interest, that, Kevin Owens was, teasing out his possible contract time on TV this week?
Yeah, that was very interesting. Yeah, I enjoyed that. I thought that was a nice little... nice little jab for the smart fans. Yeah, it does not feel like someone who's playing out the end of his rope. Sounds like it's somebody preparing for a major character change and push.
He's one of those guys that, you know, he's been used in a high-profile feud almost all the time. Like, he's not really been in the championship mix much since his... Because he had one championship run, correct?
Yeah, he did.
So, yeah, he has the one run. But, yeah, like, he hasn't gotten back there, but... Him in, I guess to me, AJ Styles has kind of been in a similar category where he just seems to be involved in something all the time. And Kevin Owens is that way. Yeah. like, they are really going out of their way to keep him involved if he's moving on.
Yeah, no, this is good. Yeah, this doesn't feel like someone who is leaving anytime soon, but maybe he still will. I liked what they did at the end of Raw. I think that, and it's definitely a callback to right after Kofi won the title, when Kevin Owens, when Big E was jumped by a mysterious attacker who has never been revealed to this day, and Kevin Owens took over as the substitute third member of New Day before, of course, turning against Kofi and Xavier and challenging Kofi for the WWE Championship. So you really do have Big E looking Kevin Owens in the face and saying, "I remember who you are. You don't have me fooled." So once again, if anything, it's actually more subtle than anything that they've done, and it relies on people remembering something that happened over 2 years ago. So some people in the crowd seem to think that Big E was being more of a dick than Kevin Owens was.
You know, occasionally they get the true gray area that they're actually working for. And this could be one of those spots. You know, I mean, Big E seemed like he was pushing it a little bit more in the moment. I guess it is easy to forget in some ways because Kevin Owens has been a babyface for a while now.
Yes. And you know what? He does a really, really great job being that working man's baby face, the any man's baby face. But when he's been in that position for just over 2 years now, so if he's turning back, nothing wrong with that. Once again, they got quite a bit out of Kevin Owens as a baby face, particularly last year against Roman Reigns. So no, I mean him and Big E could certainly have a good feud.
That could be a quite enjoyable little feud there. It doesn't seem like he'll be the next one in line, but he should be. Pretty next in line. I would think. What else? Because I'm kind of looking at it, and it's just... we got Rhea Ripley and Nikki Ash still hanging around. I don't know what good winning the Queen of the Ring is if Zelina Vega is going to be tagging along with Carmella all the time.
Yeah, it's something for them to do. I don't think they really have ever had great faith in Zelina Vega as a single, so we'll just get this tag team thing going.
Women's tag division, where we send people that we can't figure out what to do. Chad Gable took on Finn Balor. The outcome of that was not terribly surprising. That was really just kind of filling some time. Street Profits versus Robert Roode and Dolph Ziggler. Oh boy, the Dirty Dogs end up winning this one. We're getting more of the Dirty Dogs.
Yeah, more Dirty Dogs. Yay. That's great. That's just wonderful. That's what I want on my TV right now. more dirty dogs.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I guess they feel like AJ Styles is out of action currently with a being phrased as a medical issue. So, you know, Riddle and RK-Bro has to face somebody, and you just have almost literally wandering around and, and attacking people.
Yep. Another fun match. Damian Priest versus T-Bar. T-Bar really getting to show how good of a wrestler he is, at least on the main WWE TV for probably the first time.
Yeah, no, this ended up a good match. Although in the end, he was suitably destroyed. You really can't say that. Yeah. He's really moving up after that match.
Oh no!
He got beat pretty as decisively as anybody could get beat in that situation.
Yeah. He might have put up a good match, but like you said, he was pretty decisively beaten. It wasn't one of the fluke roll ups or something. He got put down with Priest's finisher, and you know that's pretty definitive. So I mean hopefully that helps out T-Bar. I do like Dijakovic, or you know whatever name he wants to be under. Is a wrestler who I think I can contribute. So I kind of hope that he finds some type of spot or some type of traction from this. But we'll see. And I'm continuing to dig the Damian Priest. Yeah, I think that about does it. Is there anything else on your brain from the week in wrestling that needs to come out?
Something we haven't talked about, that's been talked about on StuntGrade at all in the last week. The fate of Ring of Honor, ROH.
Oh, yeah, you know what? And amusingly enough, I know I am still behind by at least 2 months on my Ring of Honor watching, and I just happened to pop it on after NXT wrapped up here. And, that happened on Thursday, or at least the announcement. Because have they officially announced that, or is it just been out there?
They officially announced that they are taking a hiatus after Final Battle. I believe there's maybe, including Final Battle, maybe two shows left on the schedule that they're going to complete. And then they say they're going on hiatus. Now, if anyone could, now if we were on video, I would be doing quotation marks around that hiatus until at least April, where they plan to run the annual Supercard of Honor show over WrestleMania weekend, assuming in Dallas. But they're going to be doing that without any wrestlers under contract, because the next day was made clear that everyone under ROH contract will be either not be renewed, or they will stop being paid sometime between December 31st and March
31st. Yeah. My gut feeling was that it's not coming back.
I don't believe.
Yeah, you're in the same boat.
I would imagine it might be for sale, but I don't think it's coming back under Sinclair Broadcasting leadership. it makes no sense for it. I mean, if they've decided that they don't want to be in the Ring of Honor as a television show business anymore, then what's the point of owning this thing? To run events like a Game Changer wrestling type schedule where you run a few shows a month, but I don't think that that's what the business Sinclair wants to be in any way, shape, or form, and I have no idea how profitable that business is. This whole point of this was supposed to be content for Sinclair stations, and they're just going to stop doing TV at the end of the year. I have no idea what they're going to do with those time slots. There is feeling that, well, it's more than a feeling. I believe that is that Sinclair Station will be picking up the WOW Women of Wrestling show in come fall 2022 as well. So that's another wrinkle in all of this. It doesn't feel like Sinclair wants to be in the wrestling business anymore.
Really felt like they were in.
No, they have never been felt. They're a billion-dollar corporation, but they never put any. They never stepped up to the table.
Yeah,
they let themselves get walked over on other people's way to the table. You know, AEW was born out of ROH's complacency, basically.
Yeah, that's got to be tough for some of the people that have kind of been busting there. Because I've liked, as much as I am behind, I have liked, for the most part, the reboot since they had their break from COVID. But you can also kind of tell that they're, you know, definitely at least a step below AEW.
Oh, they're more than a step at this point. Yeah.
They are a staircase at least below AEW.
Yeah, it's a tough thing for wrestling that, you know, we've seen, you know, that MLW is having issues. They're letting people go while also saying that they're still running shows, and the NWA, you know, barely running shows. The wrestling business has never, since the original cable expansion of wrestling in the mid-80s, supported two strong major companies, more than two strong major companies. So it's a hard for these lower-tiered companies that have some degree of television and have wrestlers under contract to really make a go of it. But there's no excuse for it, for ROH being owned by such a large conglomerate. You know, even the whole thing about, you know, ROH being on their TV stations. Oh. They're in most markets after 11 p.m. on a Saturday. You know, it's like,
yeah, they're garbage. Yeah, it's garbage time slots when it records for me. Like, I think one is like maybe 5 o'clock on a Saturday. And it's just like, guys, this is college football is on right now. So this isn't really the best time to be running a wrestling program. And the other, I think you're right, it's either midnight or 1 a.m.
Yeah.
And it's just like, huh? And then even sometimes, it hasn't happened in a while, but sometimes even the 1 a.m. one got interrupted because something ran late, like a football game ran late or something on the station. So all of the programming got jacked up, and it's just like, oh my gosh, guys. Like, the time slot was terrible. They never, I don't want to say that they didn't invest in talent, because I feel like they've invested in talent, but they've never invested in production almost at all.
No, they have not.
Like, it's more lit than it used to be when I remembered starting to watch this on Sinclair. but it's not really that much better, and it's, I don't know, how long have they been on there?
It's going on, it's been about 10 years now, I think. I think they passed, I want to say that they passed their 10-year anniversary of being on Sinclair stations and being owned by Sinclair. Because I feel like it was 2011 when the buyout happened.
Yeah, I'm trying to, oh, okay, here's, sold to Sinclair. What's the date of this? Yeah, 2011. May 2011. It's been on there for a little over 10 years. Good gravy. Yeah, they just needed to, like, it is bad when some of the indies that are on, like, IWTV have a similar quality of look.
They absolutely do, yes. Yes. Many of them are look as good, if not better, than the ROH show does on television.
Yeah.
And that's inexcusable.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. If someone is mostly doing it on their own and they're outdoing you, that's just, yeah. You aren't investing anything into the product to even try to help it out. So I don't think any evaluation is going to lead to them blaming themselves. So, I mean, I'm not naive in that fact, but they have really done very little to help themselves out this for quite a while now. Like you said, like it's been 10 years, like, and they haven't, you know, things have barely gotten better production wise.
No, not at all. It's, and once again, when so many people talk about their memories of ROH, it's not this last 10 years.
Oh, no.
It's the part when they were a DVD-only company, when they launched the careers of Danielson and Punk and Joe and so many others. That is what people really hold on to with the name ROH. They've had their moments in the last 10 years where, you know, it seemed like maybe they're getting somewhere with something. But once again, as we said, they never really took their seat at the table. And unfortunately, it looks like they're done, at least in this form. Because I don't know what they think what they think they're going to go do come April. I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean,
what this could look like.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see. I mean, I guess we can't do quite the final rites on ROH, but that leaves TNA / if they are indeed shut down for good. That leaves TNA / Impact Wrestling is the third longest running, or the second longest running. Oof, man, I'm using this term loosely. Major wrestling group.
Yeah, that's loosely. Yes, that's loosely. But yes, they will be, because ROH's first show predated them by it was like 4 or 5 months or something like that. Yeah.
Oh, really? Was it that close? Really?
Yeah.
I didn't. I would have thought Ring of Honor started well before TNA.
No.
Now I'm interested to see, Because was... Oh, wow. It's only 2009?
What's 2009?
Ring of Honor?
No, it's 2002.
Why? Why does it say original release date 2009? I just popped on wiki here is giving me some bad... oh, yeah, and that was 2002 also? Good God. Yeah, I would have thought that that was the 90s sometime that Ring of Honor started, I suppose.
No,
but that does make sense that it's very early 2000s.
Yeah, no, no. It was the vacuum caused by the death of WCW and ECW. That, you know, there were a number of startups that were attempted to be launched between 2001 and 2002. And TNA and ROH were the only ones that really hit or stayed around.
Whew, yeah, I guess I did not realize that it was that close together. Okay. Yeah. Oh, that's why it says 09. That's... oh, for Pete's sakes. They were just talking about when it started being on HDNet. For God's sakes.
Yeah,
this isn't the, okay, that's what the problem was. Yeah, they were February of 02. So yeah, just a few months apart there.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, I guess I would have thought Ring of Honor was, a little bit longer ago than Impact, but wow. Wow, wow, wow. I am very wrong. Anything else to say about Ring of Honor?
Let's see where things go before we properly eulogize it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it will be interesting with everyone out of their contracts. Jeremy was giving me the fake news about everyone signing with AEW, but it will be kind of interesting to see where some of that talent ends up. You know, again, yeah. Like, I don't think everyone's going to head to AEW. So, yeah. It's kind of a wild, wild west out there. It'll be interesting to see what some of these talents do. At DeFrango11 here, the Beltane beer of the show was picked up when I was in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Ellicott Brewing Company, I believe this is actually a New York brewery, Ellicott, New York. But they have this in stock, and it's not something I can get here in Columbus. They did this in conjunction with Iron Smoke Distillery Whiskey Barrel Aged Pumpkinville Latte with coffee and pumpkin. And I'll tell you what, that's a lot of words for a tasty beer. It has a nice pumpkin ale lightness to it. There isn't too much coffee in there, which I like. And there also isn't too much, you can get a little too sweet with the pumpkin spices. And this one refrains from being too sweet, especially when you're just going with the pumpkin ale. Those ones, to me, are the ones that get a little too sweet. The pumpkin porters or the darker beers are not really in fear of that quite as much because of the roasted malt. So if you happen to be in central Pennsylvania or in New York, I would suggest this what is probably a seasonal beer. So good luck getting it in the near future. Again, the hashtag Belltime Beer of the show. I am at Frank11. That is at Stunt Cali. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any of the fine purveyors of podcasts, whether it's Google, iHeartRadio, or Spotify. Have a good night, grandkids.